So what we do in the beginning, 2 minutes, is a very brief meditation, which is going to be our topic for this next several months, will be Dhyan Yoga Chapter 6, the Yoga of Meditation. Since we are beginning Chapter 6, I'm sure all of you remember completely in detail everything we have discussed from Chapter 1 to 5. Everybody does or no? I guess the answer is no. So let us spend a few minutes summarizing what we have studied so far. So the Bhagavad Gita starts the first chapter with called Arjun Vishad Yoga, or Arjuna's grief. And Arjuna represents all of us. We all have sorrows in our life. As jivas, we all have sorrows, and we are looking for solution. And that's what Arjuna, because when the war started, it's not that he was afraid of the war. He was a great warrior. He could single-handedly defeat armies. But he could foresee, he was a visionary, and he could foresee the amount of, I think the door is opening, if we can close it fully, please, thank you. So he could foresee the extent of damage that would happen with war, and that's what he tells Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He says, look, the war is going to result, because it's a war between just two branches of the same family, and it's a civil war within the kingdom between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, and half the kings were on the, more than half were on the Kauravas, less than half were on the Pandavas. And there's going to be tremendous destruction and tremendous sorrow. And I don't want to fight this war just for a piece of land. And so he gives a big lecture to Bhagavan Sri Krishna about why the war is bad and so on and so forth. And the Lord keeps silent. He says, let him speak. And towards the end, we find that Arjuna is totally disillusioned. He's depressed. He says, my body is shaking. I can't even hold my bow. The greatest warrior of his time couldn't even lift his bow. He says, my mouth is dry, I am sweating, my hair is standing on end. And he sits down on the bottom of the chariot, a totally depressed individual with no desire to do anything. And so the Lord realizes that what he needs, first he gives him some shock treatment. You know, why are you lying down there like an impotent coward? Get up and fight. That does not work. So he says that what he needs is knowledge. And through Arjuna, Bhagavan is giving the knowledge to the entire human race. Because Arjuna was there, he heard, and we have to be grateful to him that through him, we all get the opportunity to study this beautiful text from the Lord's own mouth. Bhagavan himself has spoken these 18 chapters, these 700 verses. So we are indeed blessed that through Swami Chinmayanandaji's translation and commentary. Those of you who don't have it, please make sure you get it from the office, because Gurudev has done a very beautiful commentary and translation of each verse, word by word translation. So through Arjuna, we also get to hear this message of the Bhagavad Gita. So normally teaching is done from the lowest to the highest. So we start, like a student starts in first or second grade, or in the kindergarten, we teach him ABC and how to count and spelling, and then slowly go up to, you know, chemistry, math, you know, algebra, calculus, all that. But Bhagavan does the opposite, starts with the highest knowledge, where he tells him that we have two personalities. One is the empirical personality and the absolute personality. The empirical personality, everybody is familiar with this BMI chart, right? So the empirical personality is everything below Om, vasanas, body, mind, intellect, perceiver, feeler, thinker, objects, emotion. That is all this empirical world. That includes me also, the individuality, BMI, the ego. And Om is my absolute nature. We all are in reality Om. We all are the absolute nature, but through ignorance and through vasanas, which is our ignorance, we think we are this body, mind, and intellect. And I'm through the body, mind, and intellect, I'm perceiving, feeling, thinking these objects, emotions, and thoughts. So we give reality to the world and forgetting that I am that Om, that Brahman, that absolute consciousness, which I was never born. I am here and I will never die. That's what Arjuna did not know. And Bhagavan tells him, na jayate mriyate va kadachit, na hanyate hanyamane sharire. He says, you are never born. You were always there. You, I, and all these kings, all of us were always there and are here and we will always be there. Because when the body perishes, we don't perish. Na hanyate hanyamane sharire. And he says, understand that, because that was the message of the Upanishads. And Arjuna had studied the Upanishads, because from time to time Bhishma used to bring different acharyas who would teach them this message from our scriptures. And so Arjuna had heard that, but that didn't have any effect. So then Bhagavan says, okay, I'll talk to you at your level. You are a kshatriya, you are a brave warrior, and the greatest duty of a warrior is to fight for his country at the time of peril. And right now your country is in peril because it is being ruled by these evil Kauravas who have not only contaminated the palace, have stolen the kingdom from you, but the whole country is suffering because of the injustice of these evil Duryodhana and his... See, when the king is evil, then the whole country suffers. So that is the thing, and that's what Bhagavan tells him, that it is your duty to fight, because what we have against us are evil people who, not only they are evil, but through generations, their children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren will all be ruling the great Bharat, great India, and India's future and India's destiny is in your hands. Because if you don't fight, the entire Pandava army will get disheartened, because you are the main, you are the warrior, you are the leader of that. And if you run away thinking that, he says, I want to go and, you know, beg, I want to become a sannyasi and I want to go to the forest and meditate, he says, you are not yet ready for sannyas. This is what we will be talking today. He says, you, at this moment, you are not ready to beg and eat, you know, eat people's borrowed. You are a king, you are a warrior. And even if you are sitting and meditating in the Himalayas, you will be sitting, Om, you know, that evil Duryodhana, I had a chance to kill him. I should have killed him. Why am I here? That Karna. So your mind will all the time be here, and you are not yet ready. And so same way for us also, Bhagavan says that there is a sequence. Meditation, that's why we are doing meditation after having done five chapters. Bhagavan didn't start right away with saying, sit and chant Om. He said, we'll do the introductory chapters. And so that's what Bhagavan tells him. So then after telling him that if you run away, you know, people will say you were a great coward and you got scared, and for history, through history, you will become infamous. And for a great warrior like you to become infamous is the biggest shame. So he tries to shame him, you know, thinking that maybe that has no effect on Arjuna at all. So then Bhagavan says, I really need to teach him properly. So the second chapter, he starts with this Sankhya Yoga, where he's systematically telling him what is his duty. Then he talks a little bit about Karma Yoga. Karmanya Vadika Raste Mafaleshu Kadachan. Your duty is to do the action, do not worry about the result. And we'll talk about that today. And then the second chapter is explained in detail in the third chapter. So what Bhagavan is doing, as we will see when we summarize these five chapters, that there is a thread of knowledge running through. It's people think, oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are separate. They are not separate chapters. There is a thread of systematic study. So when he talks about Karma Yoga and about this highest duty, where he says your absolute nature is Om and Brahman, Arjuna is just your name that you have just taken, that has been given to you by your parents, and this body was given to you by your parents. But that is not you. So then Arjuna says, well, Bhagavan, can you tell me how a wise person who has attained this absolute nature, who is called Sthita Prajna, Prajna means whose wisdom is stationary, established in that, how does he function in the world? And those are the most beautiful 18 chapters, the last 18 chapters I'm sorry, the last 18 verses of the second chapter, which is called Sthita Prajna Lakshanani, the indications of a wise person, how this wise person functions in the world, sees the world, but does not let the world get into him. Yada samharate chayam kurmonga niva sarvasha indriyani indriyarthebhyah tasya prajna pratishthita. So his wisdom is firmly established in this Om, in the Lord within. And so the world may come and go, whatever happens, na pre prahrishyet prapyet priyam, whether he gets good or whether he gets bad, he deals with it but does not get internally disturbed because his mind is established in the wisdom. And also in these 18 verses, if you read of the second chapter, Bhagavan Sri Krishna also tells us how, if we are not sthita prajna, how to become. So the ladder of rise is also given very beautifully. Then Bhagavan has talked briefly about karma yoga. So the entire third chapter is devoted to karma yoga. How does this come about? Because Arjuna asks in the beginning of the third chapter that there are two paths, the path of action and the path of knowledge. Now in the second chapter, Bhagavan says the path of knowledge is superior to the path of action. So Arjuna says, well, you said path of knowledge is superior to the path of action. I want to get knowledge. I want to go and sit in the Himalayas and learn from the rishis and meditate. Tat krim kim karmani ghore mam niyojayasi keshwa. Why are you involving me in this horrible deed of action when you said knowledge is superior? I want knowledge. I'm telling you that. So then Bhagavan explains to him that there are no two paths. It's not that path of action is separate and path of knowledge is separate. They are one. Nanya pantha vidyate anaya. You know, those who know Purush Suktam, there's one of the lines that there is only one path to the truth, and that is the path of knowledge. All other paths are introductory. Whether you do karma yoga, you know, some people say, I don't believe in all these lectures and reading and all. I live a good life. I don't harm anybody. I am a good person. Very good. Nothing wrong with that. But that won't take you to the highest. He says, I go and, you know, serve. I dig ditches. I make habitat for humanity. I serve the homeless, feed. Very good. Nothing wrong. But that won't take you to the highest. Somebody says, I go to the temple and pray every day. And then I do chanting. And I do, you know, japa. And I do puja. And I sit down with the pandit. Very good, very good. But that won't take you to the highest. That is good. Whether you do karma, whether you do puja, somebody says, I believe in yoga. I'm going to do yoga every day. Breathe, pranayama. And do this kriya yoga. Very good. Nothing wrong with that. But all of these are good for quietening the mind. Will not get you the highest knowledge that I am Brahman. I am that consciousness. So all of these, whether you do karma yoga, whether you do bhakti, whether you do, you know, asanas, pranayama, what I'm not saying that they are not to be done. They are necessary to be done to quieten the mind and reduce my vasanas. Because without me knowing that, what is the obstacle? The vasanas prevent me from knowing. So all these actions reduce vasanas, and they are necessary to be done. We're not saying they should not be done, but that's not the ultimate. Don't just stop there. That's what Bhagavan is telling Arjuna in the third chapter. That, and throughout the Bhagavad Gita, the one thread that runs throughout this 18th chapter is Nahi Gyane na Sadrisham Pavitram Iha Vidyati. There is no greater purifier than knowledge. Sarva Karma Akhilam Partha Jnane Parisamapyate. All karmas end ultimately in knowledge. So the path of knowledge is glorified. All of the others are good, but they are take you to the path of knowledge. And so if we are sitting here and studying, that's very good. But we also have to remember that we still have to do the other things. We have to do service. We have to do some puja. We have to do reading, do some yoga, pranayama. Reduce your vasanas and at the same time study. So the fourth chapter, Bhagavan talks about the action and the actionless. First, in the fourth chapter, Bhagavan reveals his identity, that I am not only your friend, you know, son of Vasudev and Devaki, but I am the Ishvara, the eternal Brahman consciousness, the Ishvara who has manifested in this body. So that I am, and I was the one who gave this knowledge to the sun god. So that's what Bhagwan reveals. And he says, why am I here? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. To protect the good and punish the evil, I am here. And then he talks about action and actionlessness. What is action? Action is what we are doing right now. We are talking, we are listening, you know, we are eating, drinking, whatever, that is the action. But in the action, there is, and the body, mind and intellect are acting. The body is perceiving, mind is feeling, intellect is thinking because of vasanas. But the actionless self does not do anything. The consciousness does not do anything. But without the presence of consciousness, the body, mind and intellect would not be able to work. Just as electricity doesn't do anything. Electricity says, I don't heat the room, I don't cool the air conditioner, I don't light the bulb, I don't illumine the room, I don't do anything, I don't cool the refrigerator. But in my presence, the heater heats, the cooler cools, the bulb lights, the refrigerator cools. So Bhagavad says that the consciousness, so a wise person, while working in the world, sees the actionless self. So he says, in action, he sees inaction, and in inaction, he sees action. What it means is the actions are going on, but there is the actionless self, which is ever present, which is that. And then this concept is expanded further in the fifth chapter, where Arjuna now... See, first Arjuna asked about two paths, jnana and karma. Now, in the fifth chapter, you can see the student has become smarter. Just as hopefully we are learning and we are getting smarter. So, in the fifth chapter, Arjuna says that, okay, you said karma yoga, I understood that. Then you said there is something called karma sannyas, which is what I want to do. I want to take sannyas. I want to put on orange clothes and go to the forest. So can you tell me of these two, which one is superior? See, first, his question is also evolved. He has understood that I'm supposed to do karma yoga. Which one is better? Karma yoga is better or karma sannyas? So Bhagavan says, for you, karma yoga is better. Because you are not ready for orange clothes. So for you, karma yoga vishishyate. For you, karma yoga is better. But he talks a lot about karma sannyas in the fifth chapter. And what he says... Karma sannyas is giving up the doership, the idea that I am doing it. That idea, na kinchit karomi iti manyate tatvavit pasyan shrunvan jigran sprishan. So he says the wise person understands that I do nothing. While I am hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, touching, walking, talking, thinking, interacting with people, but I as the consciousness do nothing. And so this wise person renounces all doership. He says, because the Prakriti Yanti Bhutani, he says the Prakriti is working and I do not work. I don't do anything because I am the pure consciousness. I am the eternal consciousness, Brahman. And so this all is explained in very much detail about what is the meaning of sannyas. Sannyas does not mean putting on orange clothes. Though yes, if you have that inclination and you are ready, you can do it. But preparation is very essential, because a person who takes sannyas without preparation, where his mind is still full of desires, can do a lot of wrong things, as we see, unfortunately, you know, people who become priests or who become sadhus and they still have so many desires, then they do wrong things, you know, unfortunately. And now we are reading it in the papers. And it's not only confined to one religion, it is there in all religions. It's not only in Catholics, it's in Islam, it is in Hindus, it is in Jains, it is in every religion that... Unfortunately, people take sannyas or become priests or monks without preparation. So that's what the fifth chapter is, the summary of that, where what is the true meaning of sannyas and what is the meaning of giving up doership and always remaining established in his true self. But the question is, how can I be established? It's very hard. You know, I understand, Bhagavan, you said, I have to be, but I find it very difficult. When I go out in the world, somebody says something and my mind gets disturbed. And then I forget I am Brahman. And then I start thinking I am so-and-so and that person is so-and-so and he's my enemy and he's my friend. And then I start fighting with people. I get angry. Nothing, even if somebody just honks at me or gives me the finger in the car, my mind gets disturbed. Forget about even dealing with that person. In fact, in Vivek Chudamani, we just read last week, he says that poison, a cobra, when he bites you, you die, right? So, for that, you have to come close to the poison, and the cobra has to actually bite you. Then and then alone you suffer, you know, you suffer. But the sense objects, they don't even have to come close. They are worse than a cobra. Because far away I see something and my mind gets disturbed. It's so beautifully Shankaracharya explained. Just last week we covered that. So that's why he says be very careful about what your senses, what are you putting into your mind? What are you seeing? What are you hearing, smelling, tasting, touching? So be very alert, because what they say, garbage in, garbage out. If you put garbage in your mind, what will come out is garbage. So be very careful and keep your senses under your control. So that's what Bhagavan says. And remember, just as in a clean vessel, if you put something old, you know, which is spoiled, sour and ugly, and then you put clean milk in that, what will happen? The milk will get ruined. So similarly, our vessel, our mind has to be kept clean so that the knowledge, when it goes in there, it does not get contaminated or corrupted. So then in the end of the fifth chapter, Bhagavan introduces the sixth chapter, which is Dhyana Yoga. So the last three verses of the fifth chapter are a summary of what is meditation. So as I said, all the chapters are connected. So today we will start meditation, but there are about 10 different topics that will be covered in this chapter. The first 8 or 9 verses are preparatory, not only for meditation, but for any sadhana, anything you do in life. How do you prepare yourself? So the first 9 verses are preparatory. So in the preparation, first of all, Bhagavan tells us in these 10 topics, first of all, what is meditation? Who is a meditator? How does a meditator prepare himself? What are the external adjustments? You know, that's why he says, now you sit in a quiet room with your back erect and all. And those are the external adjustments. Then what are the internal adjustments that a meditator has to make? How do I get my mind quiet? How do you breathe? How do you chant? All that. Then what is the actual process of meditation? Meditation is not just sitting and chanting Om, but what am I doing in that silence? So that is, not only you silence your mind, but what do you do with the silent mind? Okay, then he says obstacles will come. You know, that's what, when we sit, our mind starts running and thinking of everything. Or there may be obstacles from the surroundings. You know, my neighbors may be noisy, or my mind will be running, or there may be a thunder or lightning or in all those. So obstacles will come. So how to overcome those obstacles? That is covered in the meditation. Then what happens after I get up? How should I function in the world? So all these 10 subjects are covered in detail in this chapter. And it's not only meditation, but it covers the entire way of life. In this chapter, a lot of beautiful shlokas are given about how this person should conduct himself or herself. And at the end of the sixth chapter, there is a question-answer session, just as when we end last 10 minutes. So here also Bhagavan gives Arjuna time to ask questions. And so that is what the brief summary of the sixth chapter is.